So today we are actually almost done with this series, Truly Free. We are one more Sunday away from concluding what has been a good journey through the book of Galatians. I think it's always good to go slowly through Scripture, because the slower and the deeper you go, the more that you can learn. So this morning we're going to be looking... we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10, and we're going to be looking at kind of this age-old concept of you reap what you sow. And we're going to be talking about what it looks like to sow into Jesus and how that affects our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. So we're going to jump right in and start in Galatians 6, verse 7. You can follow along on the screen if you would like. So Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man or woman reaps what he or she sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." The first thing that I want to look at is what it means to sow properly. We're going to learn that we all sow into something. We all plant into something. We all have foundations in something. But the important thing that we understand today is that foundations are crucial. And when we miss out on the foundation, when we miss out on laying, you know, like Jesus said, laying or building your house on the rock instead of in the sand, when we miss out on that, then we're only opening up ourselves to further destruction in the end. So I want to start here as just kind of a framework for today, that God does not change based on what we do or do not do. God's disposition towards us never changes. It is always love. God always is a loving God. God always looks at us in love. We may experience times where we feel like we are following God with everything that we have, and that's great, and God loves us. But there are also times when maybe we are doing things that we shouldn't be doing, and God loves us through that too. We can look throughout Scripture. We see the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of our faith. And there are times when those three men mess up pretty badly, actually. But God's disposition towards them never changes. It is always love. So when Paul talks about mocking God, I want to pose this thought. When we go against God's grain of love, we feebly attempt to mock God. And even then, God will not be mocked. So when I say going against the grain, I'm actually borrowing a phrase from another pastor named Brian Zahn. And he uses this metaphor of going with and against the grain. Are there any woodworkers in the house? Show of hands. I see Don Concert going like this, like, don't call on me, but I want to also say I'm a woodworker. So from the little that I know of woodworking, I took a woodworking class my freshman year of high school, so about 10, 12 years ago. But when you go with the grain on the wood, it is a lot smoother than when you go against the grain. When you go against the grain, it is rough and it is bumpy. I also learned that when you make a cut on the wood, that if you cut in line with the grain, you are likely to get a much better cut on the wood. If you go against the grain, it is likely to splinter and not, potentially not cut right. So, and actually another metaphor, Dan Ray caught up with me after first service and told me another good metaphor for this is a porcupine. So if you rub in line with the needles on a porcupine, you're fine. If you go against that, your hand's going to hurt a lot. So you could either say within or against God's grain of love, or, you know, within or against the porcupine needles of God's love. However you want to say it, and what I mean by going with the grain of God's love is that God has set out a way for us. God has set out a path of righteousness for us in following Jesus. And when we go within that grain of love, we are doing our best to follow what God has set out for us. When we go against that grain, when we, whether intentionally or not intentionally, go against that grain of love, we are mocking what God has said is good. We are refusing to participate in what God has said is good. So this phrase, God will not be mocked, I have tended to look at this from a perspective of fear in the past. Sort of like, maybe God's going to get the last laugh. Or in the end, God's still going to get me. Like, I can't hide anything from God. And while that's true, we can't hide anything from God, I want to challenge us to look at this more from a perspective of love. That no matter how much we try to mock God, God doesn't change, and God's disposition towards us is always love. I think one very poignant example of this is looking at the story of Jesus on the cross. When he was hanging there, people literally mocked him. But in the end, God would not be mocked because Jesus was vindicated by raising from the dead 3 days later. When we attempt to mock God, even then, God will not be mocked. So this concept of reaping what you sow. We reap what we sow. Most of us know that this simply means that actions have consequences. It's pretty straightforward. But here's the thing. We all sow into something. We all sow into something. Now, I mean, it's kind of a confession because I don't like to admit this, but I am a Browns fan, and I put myself through torture every Sunday, though this year has been a little better. But the Browns, I will say, have not sown well over the last few years. They have had bad draft picks, bad coaches, their talent evaluation is bad. Just all around, the organizational structure has been bad. And when you sow those kinds of seeds, it will result and you will reap winless seasons. So, the Browns are bad is my point. another example, I've realized over the last couple of years, one of the things that I really like to do is to go hiking. And I'm actually leaving in a few days to go on a hiking trip. And one of the things that I have learned when you go hiking is that you have your backpack, but there's not a lot of space in there. So you have to be very careful about what you put in there, making sure you have the right amount of food, clothing, shelter, all that stuff. But you also have to pay attention to the map and where you're going. You have to make sure that you're going to take the right trail, not get lost in the woods. Make sure you know where all the water sources are. So if you sow into preparation while hiking, you are likely to survive. If you do not, things can go south in a hurry, and you can run out of water, you might not have the sweatshirt you need, you might even get lost. So you reap what you sow. You can sow into goodness, or you can sow into destruction. And I believe that's what Paul is making this distinction here between the spirit and the flesh. There's this dichotomy, spirit versus flesh, or I would suggest with or against the grain of love. We sow into the grain of love, or we sow against the grain of love. But I want to make a distinction here. And that is, good things don't always happen to good people. Bad things don't always happen to bad people. But chaos always catches up with chaotic people. So when we talk about reaping what we sow, I don't think this is necessarily talking about situations where like people get cancer or people get in really nasty car wrecks that weren't their fault. Like I can't believe that God would punish someone like that for, you know, whatever it may be. But what I'm talking about here is more like if you sow into gossip or slander amongst your friends, you're probably going to reap broken friendships. You have caused that chaos, and then you're going to reap something in the end. Chaos always catches up with chaotic people. Now, Paul, like I said, Paul is making a distinction here between flesh and spirit. And he says that flesh equals destruction and spirit equals eternal life. And even further, I think what Paul is trying to do here is because one of the things that the Galatian church was dealing with was this idea behind circumcision. Is circumcision the marker of who belongs, who is included, or has Jesus sort of opened the floodgates with that? And so I believe what Paul's doing here is saying that the flesh is equal to circumcision. When you sow into the flesh, when you sow into circumcision, you're sowing into the flesh. When you sow into Jesus, you're sowing into eternal life. So Paul here is pushing the Galatians one last time to give up on the hope of circumcision and to place their trust in the promise of Jesus. To give up on the hope of circumcision and place their trust in the promise of Jesus. Now, we don't really deal with the issue of circumcision in the way that they did today. So I think we need to do a little translating here. Even though we don't deal with it like they did, there are still many circumcisions that we can sow into that will bring about destruction. And what I would say is that oftentimes it is the things that look closest to Jesus but actually aren't Jesus that can be the most dangerous. Circumcision was close to Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus. Sometimes we think the more power and influence we can have, maybe the more we can spread the word of Jesus, which is fine, but power and influence aren't Jesus. Sometimes we think the more money we have can bring more people, you know, we can compile our resources and do great things, which is fine, but that money is not Jesus. Jesus is the one that leads us to eternal life. And there are many more examples of this too, but we'll move on. So there are many circumcisions that we can sow into that will bring about destruction, but there is only one Jesus who can bring us eternal life. And I will say that when we sow into Jesus, we reap the fruit of the Spirit. When we sow into Jesus, we reap the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about this a few weeks ago. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And I asked myself this week, does my life look like that? And again, the fruit of the Spirit isn't a list of like rules that we're trying to obtain, but does my life reflect love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. And I'll be honest, I gave myself maybe a passing grade on a couple of them, but on a few I was like, I could probably do a little better. And the conclusion I came to is that if we can look at what we're reaping, because that, you know, we can actually see what we're reaping, then that can tell us maybe what we're sowing into. Because we all sow into something. Whether it's one thing, multiple things, we all sow. It's just whether we choose to go within the grain of love or against it. And so, for those of us doing the runway groups with the Dallas Willard study, there was one quote that Dallas Willard said that really got to me. He said, if you want heaven, you can have it now. If you want heaven, you can have it now. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because we like to think maybe of heaven as out there in another time, in another, you know, in the afterlife, whatever it may be. But that doesn't necessarily speak to the power that the kingdom of God can have here and now. And I truly believe that the kingdom of God can have power here and now. We just have to sow into Jesus. We have to be willing to sow in the Spirit of God and not in the spirit of the flesh. There's only one Jesus who can bring us eternal life. Paul moves on to essentially encourage the Galatian church to keep the faith. And I think this is an encouragement we could all use, because if we're honest, we all have moments where we either don't want to, or we doubt, or whatever it may be, and that's fine. And he talks about don't grow weary of doing good. And I will say, I agree with him. But I also say experiencing weariness in doing good or sowing into Jesus is normal. And that's why we can't do this alone. That's why we're here together. This is why we're not just all at our own houses trying to do this on our own. We're in this together. I was thinking about this while I was sitting there listening to the bells, and they, you know, together they sound great. But if you just take one of them and let them try to do one of those songs on their own, they might sound okay, but it's not going to sound like what they can sound like when they're together. And so maybe a good analogy is that the church should be a symphony for God's love to the world. A symphony that conveys this beautiful noise of the gospel to the world. Because we all have different talents, we all have different sounds. And so I will say your best resources in faithfulness are each other. It's not necessarily Pete or me or Andy. I mean, we're here for anyone, but it's you all. That's why we encourage people to be in groups and to meet with one another and to encourage one another, build each other up in love. Because in those times of need, it's difficult to do this alone when you don't have someone to turn to, when you don't have someone to lean on. But here's the thing about doing good, or as I would say, sowing into Jesus. It is worth the hard work, because Paul says we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest, and I would call that ripe fruit. We sow into Jesus and we reap ripe fruit. That's probably really hard to say five times fast. But we sow into Jesus and we reap ripe fruit if we do not give up. We need one another to build on. And that harvest, it may be, you know, people that you've reached, people that you've been able to share what Jesus means to you. But ripe fruit can also look like the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, becoming more evident in your life. It can look like you growing into a deeper relationship with Jesus. But here's the thing, we all sow. And so creating chaos or sowing into the flesh, though it may seem pleasurable, but we still all reap a harvest. It's just whether we want our harvest to be ripe or we want our harvest to be rotten. And God gives us the freedom to choose. He has laid out a path. He has given us a grain to follow. But which kind of fruit do you want in your life? Ripe or rotten? And I say that, and I ask that, not from a perspective of trying to guilt trip you. I say that from a perspective of not trying to judge you. But I ask that because that's a question I'm asking myself. Do I want ripe fruit in my life? Or am I okay with the rotten stuff that comes when I sow in the flesh? So finally, Paul gives us this imperative to do good to all people. Do good to all people. And I think this is one of the ways that we can sow into the Spirit is by doing good to others. He says, as you have opportunity, do good to all people. I had a professor one time at Malone who had this weird saying, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. And it's simple, but it's profound. Because no matter where you go, there you have an opportunity to sow into Jesus. It's not simply when you're at church, you sow into Jesus, or when you're around your Christian friends that you sow into Jesus. It's wherever you go, there you are. Whenever you're at a restaurant, you can sow into Jesus by being respectful to your service staff. When you're at the grocery store, you can be patient in a long line. There are countless ways that we can show kindness to one another. We are given countless opportunities to do so. And when Paul emphasizes doing good to all people, I think one of the things that popped up into my mind is that I need to learn to empathize with other people and their pain and their suffering. Because there, no matter who we are, there are going to be people in this world that look, think, and act differently from us. And that's okay. But it's not okay to not listen. It's not okay to simply attack. We need to be respectful. We need to learn to empathize with their pain and their suffering because there may be things that they're going through that we can never understand. And until we reach a place of humility that says, I can never understand that pain, but I want to hear about it and I'm willing to suffer with you through it, I think that can be a great witness to this world. But Paul doesn't just say doing good to all people. He emphasizes the family of believers. He says, do good especially to the family of believers. So the church is a continuation of the original covenant that God had given to Abraham and Sarah, where God told them that they would be a blessing and they were to bless others. And that is our role, that is our responsibility. We have been given the good news of Jesus, and we are to bless others. But here's the thing. How can we be a blessing if all we do is fight with one another, talk bad about one another, and corrupt one another? And I'm not necessarily making that accusation for us specifically. I mean, I think those are questions we should wrestle with. But I think the church as a whole is going through some struggles right now. And I will say, as a millennial, I have most of my friends are millennials, and a lot of my friends are non-Christians. And when conversations come up about church or God or whatever, One of the kind of consistent narratives that I hear from them is that, you know, Christians are too judgmental. I don't want to go to a place where I feel like I can't be myself, things like that. And I will say, and I'm at fault too, they're not necessarily wrong. I think that we can do better in learning to love one another. I think there's always been times throughout church history where the people of God have sowed against the grain of love. And I think now is a crucial time that the church needs to really examine itself and say, are we sowing into Jesus? Are we sowing into what matters? Are we sowing within the grain of love? And are we being the best witness possible that we can be for the sake of others to the world? Jesus said in the book of John, they will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. If we can't get it right in here, we've got no chance out there. The best witness we can have to the world is to show that the church is a loving place where everyone can be included and everyone can be loved. So, with that, I'm going to close with a few reflection questions, things that we can all think about, ponder in our hearts, and I will leave some space for silence and then close in prayer. First, what kinds of chaos have you created for yourself in your life, and how might you go about eliminating those sorts of things? Number two, how are you using those around you to be built up and to build others up? If you aren't part of an ongoing small group community, this could be a good place to start. Who out there do you need to empathize with, and who in here do you need to get along with better? And then lastly, consider that God's disposition towards you never changes. It is always love. And this love has the power to release you from the burdens of chaos. So let's pray for, think silently for a moment or two, and then I will pray to close us out. God, I thank you that you have given each of us, in essence, a blueprint on what it looks like to go within the grain of love. God, I pray that we would not be burdened by that as if it were a law, but God, that we could live truly in the freedom of that love that you have given us through Jesus. God, I pray that we would all reflect on our lives and that the fruit that we reap would be ripe fruit. God, that we would search within, examine what it means to be in line with the fruit of the Spirit, and sow into Jesus. God, equip us, empower us, and love us through the process. In Jesus' name, amen.